Has anyone ever said to you, you need to adjust your attitude? Well, me either. Just kidding. I think we've all heard that. Stick around as we look at what Jesus tells us about attitudes out of the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Hey, folks, welcome back. Today, we're going to look at what Jesus said concerning attitudes, because I believe every one of us at times in our lives have actually heard somebody tell us that we needed to adjust our attitude, or in my case, somebody was going to give me an attitude adjustment right on top of the head. So, you know, when we think about that, let me ask you this question. How is your attitude right now? How is your attitude for today? You know, did you wake up, and there's a term that's been used before, did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Or did somebody look at you and say, well, hey, what happened to you this morning? Why are you acting this way? Sometimes it's that way from the start of our day, for whatever reason it may be. Well, you know what? There are things in our lives, our circumstances in our lives, and many of them that we don't have any control over. And though you have no control over your daily circumstances, it is extremely important that we begin each day with the right attitude. You know, regardless of what anyone says, attitude can set the tone for the day. Now, in the passage that we're going to look at today, Jesus opens what is titled the Sermon on the Mount by teaching on attitudes. Okay, look with me, if you would, over in the book of Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, and if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's pray together this evening. Father, as we come to you, we just ask you right now to open our hearts, to open our minds. Lord, as we view this story that you gave us, as we view these directives and commandments that you give us in your word, help us to concentrate on our lives matching what your word tells us. Lord, help us to understand where we are in our walk with you, that each and every day truly is a day that you have given us, and that, Lord, we will rejoice and truly be glad in it. So, Father, help us as we study today, open our hearts and open our minds. Be with your messenger, Father, as we gather around your word for these few moments, and as we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, when we look at this, and we look at Jesus' teaching, his Sermon on the Mount talks a lot about what our attitudes are. And you notice what it says, the very first thing is he gave us that list starting in verse 3. Every one of those verses and every one of those thoughts starts off with this. It starts off with blessed are, or blessed is, you know, to be blessed by him. That is a promise that you and I can claim. Now, as we've gone through our Bible study, one of the issues that I've said that we need to look for are promises that we can claim in God's Word. If you're not doing that, I want to encourage you to do that. And every time that you get into God's Word and as you're reading it, there are certain things that we can look for. And one of those things that we can look for is a promise that we can claim according to the Word of God. And he gives us a whole list of them right here. And he says, blessed are those, or blessed are. Look at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And verses 3 through 10, he gives us all kinds of special instructions that all begin with blessed are, or blessed are. So, yeah, that's a promise we can certainly claim. He gives us a specific attitude when we look at these, you know, and that specific attitude is that we are blessed, you know. When you think about a specific attitude in his instruction, this is connected to something else. You know, blessed are, and then he would go on and he would give something else. He would tell us why we're so blessed. You know, when we live in an attitude such as we read here in the book of Matthew, this is an attitude that helps us to live in a manner that pleases Christ in a Christ-like way. And when we look through that particular list, specifically verses 3 through 10, is there an attitude in there that you struggle with? I believe if we're honest with ourselves that we can look through there and we can say, yeah, there's some areas that I struggle with when it comes down specifically to this particular area. There are things that we look at in our lives and we say, I'm doing really good over here, but when it comes down to another specific, I'm having a little bit of trouble with that. Think about that time. Think about a time also as we look through this list. That you were persecuted for righteousness. Now, drop down and look at verses 11 and 12 with me. It says this. It says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, every one of us in our lives, if we've been following the Lord long enough, have had somebody who has said, you know, some comments or brought up false accusations about us and spread them around. And our first intent is that we want to go out and we want to try to defend our honor. That's one of the things that we do. We get our feelings hurt. Now, folks, first of all, let me tell you that when the Lord knows, as long as you're right, as long as it's right between you and him, that's all that really matters. Now, I know that when these type things happen, we feel that persecution, and we feel that we've been done wrong, particularly by folks when we haven't been. We are concerned about what other people think and see about us. We are, and it's one of those situations as well that many people would sit back and say, well, if people believe that, then that could cost me my job. That could cost me, you know, in a lot of different ways. But look what the Lord tells us. I think it's very important for us to go back to that verse 11. And it says this. It says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. This points out that Jesus says, I'm telling you, I know that the things that have been said about you behind your back or maybe even to your face. And he says, I know that they're false as long as they truly are false. He says, I know and I understand that. And he says, you are blessed when those things happen. Do you know what that also tells us in regard to the word of our Lord? It also says that when we are doing right, when we are following the Lord's word, when we are doing exactly what he wants us to do, then there are going to be people who are going to persecute us. Now, notice when we're talking about persecution, we're talking about being persecuted for righteousness, not being persecuted for something that we actually did that was wrong. We're talking about being a believer who is following the Lord, who is being persecuted for keeping the Lord's commandments or keeping the Lord's precepts. And the Lord is telling us now that, you know, as you go to him and your feelings are hurt, because oftentimes they are, we'll go to the Lord and say, Lord, it's just not fair. So-and-so is saying these things about me, and they're not true. And we're wanting to jump to defend our honor. And the Lord is telling us, and if that's you right now as you're viewing this, the Lord is telling us something in that verse 11. Notice what he said. You are blessed because of this. Blessed are you when they revile, verse 11, and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things. Because isn't that our prayer oftentimes? Lord, they're saying all kinds of evil things about me. And he's saying, well, you're blessed. Why? When they say all these things, because it's being done for my sake. Now look at verse 12. You know, verse 12 says, rejoice. That's hard to do. See, our first inclination is not to rejoice. Our first inclination is to be angry or to be upset or to be hurt. That's our first inclination. That's what we usually run to. That's where we cry out to God and we're saying it's not fair. Those are the things that we don't want to do. But notice what the Lord tells us. When you are being persecuted for righteousness' sake, when they're reviling against you, he says this, verse 12, the very first word, rejoice. That is a tall order, isn't it? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Not, don't just be glad, but be exceedingly glad because of the situation you're in. But then I love the way the Bible is always written. The Lord doesn't tell us to do something and then tell us and then not tell us why. So he says we're to rejoice, verse 12, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Folks, we're not there yet. You know, we're too busy in our lives living for these moments right here. When the hereafter after in heaven is going to be far longer, it is the place that we should be desiring to go. It should be the place that we are living for right now. But he says this, he says, rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In other words, look, you're not the first person. You're not the only person that is going through persecution. You're not the only person that is down. There are Christians all over this world who are being persecuted for their beliefs. Now, if you are here in the United States of America, then you have been blessed far more and seen less persecution than most places around the world. There are people every day who are being martyred for their Christian beliefs. And I don't think that any of us in America have been martyred for our beliefs. You know, we've been picked on, we've been made fun of, we've been called goody two-shoes, we've been called all kinds of things, but never to the point where our lives have been in jeopardy because of what we believe and because of our walk for Christ. So I want us to think about that today. I think that we need to get a little bit thicker skin for our Lord and Savior. It's time for us to really stand up and be counted for what we believe. There's that old expression, songs have been written about it. You got to stand for something or you're going to fall for anything. Who are we trying to please the most? Are we trying to please God or are we more concerned about pleasing man? Are we really to the point where if our feelings get hurt, and folks, unfortunately, our feelings are often being hurt by other Christian people. And then we're getting upset with the body of Christ. We're getting upset with fellow brothers and sisters and fellow believers, and we're becoming disenchanted with the walk. Folks, listen, let's get some thick skin. It is time to stand up and say what the Bible says. If the Bible says it, you can stand on it, even if at times you're going to have to stand by yourselves, and you probably will. There will be times in your life when you're going to have to stand on what you believe, whether it's in your sphere of influence, whether it's in your workplace, regardless of where it may be. There will be a time, at least one in your life, when you will stand and you will stand alone as you see it. But you're not standing alone. When you're standing on the Word of God, you are standing with the backing of our Lord and Savior. And what a great, great thought that is as we go forward. So as a Christ follower, you know, in what ways are we what the Lord describes in verse 13? Because he goes on and he talks about what we are as followers. Verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, for a moment, I want you to think about salt. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm a salt fanatic. I like salt on everything. But when we think about that, what is salt? You know, why is it that we use salt? Well, salt, when we think about it in our society and day and age, as well as even in the day of Christ and the day that this was written, salt was used as a preservative. You know, if you think about country ham, why is country ham so salty? That's what they used to kill the hog. They would hang the ham out there in the pack house or in the smoke house, and they would cover it with salt. And therefore, it wasn't refrigerated. It didn't have to be because the salt was preserving it. Now, think about that in context of the verse that we just read that Jesus told us in verse 13. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are a preservative. Now, when we think about a preservative, think about it in this way. What does a preservative do? It makes something last. It makes it stand the test of time that it would not otherwise stand. When we as believers think about being the salt of the earth or the preservative of the earth, You have to think, Jesus ascended back to the Father over 2,000 years ago, and yet today we are still talking about him. We are preserving and carrying on the not only the tradition, but the fact of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that he is coming again. So we are here to stand for him. You know, we are his hands, we are his feet, we are his voice, we are his eyes, we are his ears. You've heard me say that many, many times over, but we are to carry on. I often think about the instance in the Old Testament where, you know, one of the prophets who said, "Lord, I'm the only one left. I'm the only believer that is left." And the Lord said, "No, you're not." He said, "You just don't know about it, but there are other, I have other Christians that are preserved." Folks, there will always, always, always be at least a remnant of God's people. And we are to be a preservative for the gospel message as we go forward. But salt does something else as well. It's not only a preservative, it also does, well, what I like most about salt, it provides flavor. It provides seasoning. How many times have you tasted something and you thought, oh, you know, it's okay. It needs a little salt. Well, why do we put salt in there? Salt to give it seasoning. You can take a little bit of salt and sprinkle on something and it will change its flavor from bland to something that is really, really good. Now, if you're here today and the doctor has told you you need to stay away from salt, I'm sorry for tempting you and teasing you with that today, but you remember what it's like if you're in that particular position when you started to eat foods that you couldn't salt or that did not have salt to it, and you were like, eh, it's just blasé, it's just plain. But for me, man, I'll take that salt shaker and I'll put it on there. I love me a salad. First thing I do, stir it up a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper. Well, a lot of salt and a lot of pepper. Yeah, that baked potato, you put that butter and sour cream in it, put a little salt, a little pepper. Get those green beans, a little salt, a little pepper. Yeah, it is a seasoning. It brings zest. It brings flavor to life. Yeah, so you know what the Lord is telling us? He's telling us as his children, we are to bring zest and flavor to life. Now, I'm going to get on a small soapbox here for just a moment because I think that there are times that we do not represent Jesus very well to those that are around us, and particularly a lost and dying world, because we at times look like we're carrying the weight of the world. We at times look like we've been eating sour green persimmons. And when people view our lives, we just look like we're bitter and unhappy. Folks, that is not a testimony to our Lord and Savior that's in a favorable way. You know, if we tout that we're followers of Christ, but yet the people in our lives, all they see us doing is moping around, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that in their lives. If you're like I am, you've seen people, you know people in your life like that, and those are not people that you want to spend quality or quantity time with. Those are people that you look at and say, "Look, man, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to walk across the street and go on the other side. Maybe they won't see me," because to be with that person just sucks all of the life and all of the energy completely out of my life and the room and everything else. You and I want to be around positive people. We want to be around people that are happy. And the Word of God tells us that as His children, we should be the happy, most blessed people on the face of this planet. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not times that our circumstances are going to cause us woe. That doesn't mean that there aren't going to be times when we have some rough days or two. But is that part of who you are as a person in all of your life? I know when I said that a moment ago, there was somebody that crossed your mind that you thought, oh, there's that person in my life. You know, when I think about them, all they ever do, they're just negative about everything. They can't find a positive word to say about anything. And you really just don't want to spend that much time with them. You know, you pictured that person in your head already. So as Christ followers, now that we've talked about what salt is, it's a preservative and it brings flavor, out of verse 13. So as a Christ follower, what ways are we supposed to be the salt of the earth? In what ways and what things would cause us to lose our saltiness, as the verse goes on to say? You know, so as that salt and flavor, what we were talking about, we need to be the example of Jesus to those around us that they might see the positive aspects of being a follower of our Lord and Savior. They need to look and say, you know what, I realize you have some circumstances in your life, but how is it that you maintain the attitude? How do you maintain the attitude that you do when you're walking through literally hell on earth? How is it that you can walk in this way? And folks, people will literally beg you and ask you, how is it that you're able to withstand the things that you're withstanding? And it gives you a great opportunity because I'm going to go ahead and jump to it. But at the end of these verses we're dealing with, he says, for the glory of the Lord, for the glory of our Lord and Savior. This is what it's all about. How can you be the salt of the earth? Maybe today you need to check your attitude to see if it is something that is pleasing to the Lord, to see if it is reflecting the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, if it's not, then the Holy Spirit just convicted your life. You know, the Holy Spirit may say to you, your life is reflecting everything but the fruits of the Spirit. So if we're going to be the salt of the earth, as Jesus told us that we needed to be, we've got to lose those bad attitudes. We've got to realize how blessed we are and the privileges and blessings that God gives us on a daily basis. And we need to rejoice in those things. And people need to see that as well. So how could you lose your saltiness? Notice what that verse is in verse 13. Go back to it. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So, you know, as we think about that, is there a time in our lives when we were walking closer to the Lord, when we were better witnesses for Him? Are there times in our lives when we were truly enjoying life a whole lot better than we are right now because we were concentrating on the blessings of the Father in our life? Most of the time what takes place is when people have lost their saltiness, they've lost their influence, they have lost the heart and the desire, it usually began with distancing themselves from Jesus. Now, nobody wants to do that on purpose. People don't set out and say, well, you know what, I think this year I'm going to distance myself from the Father. No, those are subtle things that Satan brings into your life. The distractions that he brings along the way that keep you out of God's Word. The distractions along the way that he provides that keeps your prayer life minimal rather than being something that we major in. The things that keep us away from gathering with other people and gathering around the Word. Think about those things for a minute. You know what? Most of us could probably sit back and say, you know, there was a time in my life when my walk was closer, my witness was better. You know, you're not as salty as you used to be. You're not being the preservative, and you're not being the flavor of Christ that He wants us to be in this lost and dying world. So what good are we if we lose our saltiness, as the Word says? So I want to ask you this. Currently today, how salty are you? Yeah. In a lot of places, people might say, well, I don't really like that reference. If somebody calls me salty, well, when you look at it from the biblical reference, being salty is a really good thing. So as a Christ follower, he not only tells us that we're to be the salt or the preservative and flavor of the world, but he tells us that we're supposed to be something else. Look at verse 14. It says, you are the light of the world. Now he tells us that we're not only salt, but we're light. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let's go on to verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So the Lord tells us we're supposed to be not only the salt of the world, but we are to be the light of the world. You know, in a house, you know, what is it that people do with a lamp? You know, I know that you probably have them in your home. As it gets dark, what do? You know, it starts getting dark, you can't see, you go over, you turn on the lamp. Why did you go turn the lamp on? Because you couldn't see. You turned the lamp on so that it would provide lighting, so that you're not stumping your toe on the coffee table, so that you're not tripping over the sofa. You know, so when we think about this particular context, what is it that would cause you to hide or cover up your light for Jesus Christ. I know that each and every one of us have been in circumstances and situations where it would have been so much easier to just hide who we were in Christ. We've been in a place or a position where something was going to take place that wasn't pleasing to our Lord and Savior, or maybe you were with that group, and what you felt in your heart was to be able to say, well, you know, I think I'm going to excuse myself. This is not what I do, because this is not what a believer in Christ would do. This is not something that is pleasing to our Lord. And yet we didn't say that. We didn't say it because we were afraid of what people would think about us. We were afraid that they would look at us and call us a goody two-shoes, or they would change their attitude towards us in some way. Maybe it was what we thought was a great friend, or maybe it was a group that we wanted to be impressive to. So think about those things in your life. What are things that would cause you to hide or cover up your light or your witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because there are things. You have found yourself in those positions before where you didn't do what you know you should have done in being the witness that you should have been. Or even to be able to say, I'm a believer, you know, this is not really something that I do. And folks, listen, to take a stand doesn't mean that you are downing someone else. Now, sometimes that's what they believe, and the reason why is because they will look and see that your standard is a little bit higher than theirs. So what happens when people look at a situation like that? You know, misery loves company. They will oftentimes try to shun you. But remember what these verses told us as we started. Blessed are those who are reviled against or persecuted for the sake of righteousness. See, that would be for the sake of righteousness. And the Lord says, you will be blessed when you make those stands. You will be blessed. Now, I don't say that you have to do that in a very loud and a militant way. In fact, I would say don't do it that way. But please, by all means, honor the word here where it says, don't cover up your light. Don't cover up your witness for our Lord and Savior. You know, a light is there so that it might shine before men. You might be the only light that will shine into the lives of those people that you're going to influence in that moment when it would be so much easier just to walk away. So what would cause you to cover up? What would cause you to hide that light for Christ? You know, most of us have probably been led by the Spirit just now to think of some circumstances or situations where maybe we have failed and covered up our light in the past. Or maybe even something that you're going through right now. But instead of hiding your light, Jesus gives us a command. He says, don't do that. In the first part of verse 16, he says, here's what I want you to do. In verse 16, first part, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So what is the purpose for us to not hide our light? That they might see our good works for Christ. Now, I want to remind you once again that we are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But in the book of James, we learn that faith without works is dead. In other words, our good works show what we truly believe and show that we are truly walking with Christ. So we're not to cover those things up. You know, that's the purpose. The purpose is so that people would see the good works that we are doing, not for ourselves, but for Christ. And I think that's an important thing for us to remember as well. There are times when we go out and we do things for ourselves, but the Lord says we're not to be doing them for us. We're to be doing them for Him. Look at it again, first part of verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The reason is for them to glorify our Lord, not to glorify you. Okay? So let me ask you this question. Today, currently, how bright is your light shining for Christ? What sort of beacon are you for Him? How salty are you? Are you being the flavor and bringing the zest to life and those around you that the Lord wants you to be? Are you shining the light of Christ in those dark places by the way that you're living your life and that your good works, not because of who you are, but because of who Christ is, that they see those good works and that they honor and glorify Him rather than man? Think about it for a moment. How do you see your commitment to being in attendance at church to learn more about Him, something that is helping you to grow spiritually and shine brighter for the Lord? How do you see your Sunday school that you're attending as being that help to grow you, that your light might shine even brighter. How do you see the small groups that you're a part of, some that have met during the week, or even those that are meeting virtually right now? How do you see that as being a help? You know, well, they're designed to grow us in a spiritual way, that we might be strengthened in our walk with Him, that we might have courage in those times when we are persecuted and reviled against and the false things that are said to us. You know, I think we need to get a little bit more of the attitude that we really don't care what other people have to say, providing that we're in the right step and in the right walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you know what we need to do, and think about this in your life as well as you go through this week. We need to pray, not only today, but every day, that we will grow in Christ and that our light would shine brighter and brighter and brighter for Him every day. Now, I can still remember growing up, one of the challenges that you had with, particularly with flashlights, was if you let them set for a while, they simply had just a regular little bulb with a filament in it, and batteries would get weak, and you'd turn that flashlight on, and it would barely grow. But nowadays, they've got these massive, well, they're real tiny, but LED lights that put off this massive amount of light. You can hit that power button, and you can just completely light up a room. May we be LED lights, strong LED lights for the Master today. May we bring that flavor, that saltiness, that seasoning, that zest to life that points people to Christ. And may our light shine so bright. Let me try that again. May our light shine so bright that it lights up all the darkened areas where evil is hiding in the lives of people, including ourselves, that we might see the Father, that we might see His love, that we might see His good works, and that we might truly show forth the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If those are not the things that your life is shining forth today, I encourage you, get in the Word of God. Take a checkup on that today. See what the Spirit is leading you to do, that you might truly be salt and light to the world that is around you. In just a moment, we're going to close in a word of prayer. I do want to go ahead and give you the Bible readings for this week as we head into next week. If you're just joining us, once again, we're taking this opportunity to read one chapter a day in God's Word. And in a seven-day week, we're doing five different chapters. If you hang with us on Wednesday evenings, you will go through the complete New Testament. Once again, we just finished up last week. We've gone from Matthew through to Revelation. We have started back over. This is actually our first week in Matthew. We'll take five chapters a week, one per day. And then as we gather on Wednesdays, we will look at one of the specific passages that we covered during that week. So I want to encourage you to get with your reading program. Listen, folks, everybody, I don't care how busy you are, you can read one chapter a day. If you read it before you go to bed, if you read it when you get up, if you read it on your lunch break, one chapter a day is not that much. And we really don't want you to read more than one chapter a day. I want you to concentrate. I want you to prayerfully ask God to lead you and guide you in that one chapter that you are working on for that one particular day. Okay, so this week we're actually going to be reading chapters of Matthew chapter 6 through Matthew chapter 10. So if you're starting today, just read Matthew chapter 6. Tomorrow will be Matthew chapter 7, and so on and so forth. But there'll be just five. So I've even given you 2 days in that week where you can not read a chapter. But this week we're going Matthew chapter 6 through Matthew chapter 10. And next week, next Wednesday night, we're going to actually study the two roads that we read about in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. So when you get to that particular day in your reading, pay a little extra attention there. See what the Lord is showing you. See the things He's wanting you to get and understand. And that's what we'll be studying about next week. The two roads, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. We're looking forward to seeing you at church this Sunday morning. Hopefully and prayerfully, the weather will be well. We won't have to be dealing with power outages and so many other things. We've got a lot of folks in our church that need our prayer. There are those that are battling COVID, those that are hospitalized. We've just got a lot of prayer needs right now. So just lift those up. You may not know who they are. God does know. Our prayer list is posted on our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. We encourage you to use that to pray for those that are part of our church family. And even if you're not part of our church family, please make yourself a part of our family. If you don't have a home church, we really encourage you. Stop by here. We're live on Sunday mornings, this same location that you've found us today on Facebook, on our site, Sunday mornings at 10:45. Join us. We'd love to have you with us on Wednesday evenings. We do our Bible study right here. And if there's ever any questions that we can answer for you, please just let us know. We would love to hear from you. Also, if you don't have a home church, we encourage you to support the ministries of Central Baptist Church. You can do that by giving through our site as well, www.oakridgecbc.org. You'll find a giving tab, and you can contribute to the ministry. And folks, really, it's not just that our ministry might continue to go, but it's so that God can bless you. He will bless you. As His Word says, He'll open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that we cannot even begin to comprehend. So today, as we go forward, as we close in prayer, may we ask the Lord to help us to be the salt and the light, the seasoning this world needs to see, and the light to shine forth Jesus that this world needs more than anything. May we be those examples as we go through life today. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're so grateful and thankful that you still choose to use men to get your message, the message of the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, out to a lost and dying world. But Lord, you've told us as your children, and as we've trusted you, as we've walked through our life, you've challenged us to more. You've challenged us to truly be the seasoning of life, that when people see it and they see the flavor of life that you bring to us, that they may desire that. So Lord, help us to truly be the salt and the light, bringing forth our Savior to those that are around us in such a manner that your Holy Spirit would work in their lives, and in such a manner that they would heed the Holy Spirit's call for salvation in their lives. Father, for those that have already trusted and are following you, Lord, we may be in a lull, we may be in a tough time, and we may have lost our saltiness. Lord, I pray that you will lead us to get that back through your word, through your precepts, through your commandments, through prayer, that, Lord, we would become everything you want us to be in regard to salt and light. Lord, give us a great week. Help us to be an influence in somebody's life. Help us to even bring a smile to somebody's face, and help them to have a prayer in their heart, pep in their step, and joy in their heart, and peace in their mind, simply because you are part of it. Now, Lord, again, bless us. Give us a great week. Help us to see the sunshine this week, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you Sunday.